upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captain of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. We're included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. And greetings from Technocracy News and Trends. I'm Patrick Wood, the editor-in-chief and founder of Technocracy.News. I'm happy that you're here with me today. We have some interesting stories that we're going to cover. There's always something in the news, it seems like, every day. Story number one is titled, Goodbye World, AI Arms Race Headed Toward Autonomous Killer Robots. Just as a background to the story, several years ago, when the Navy first launched its first amphibious vessel that was to be completely autonomous, roaming the seas for no particular purpose other than just monitoring sea conditions and perhaps looking for submarines and stuff like that, the Navy said that it had absolutely no intention of ever arming such a autonomous vehicle, and that they weren't in the business of creating killer robots that would decide who and when and what to kill. Well, we knew back when we first wrote about that, that this would not hold water for very long. And indeed, it hasn't. So it's been now about 3 years since this actually first happened. The first ships came out that were indeed autonomous, and they could go out and roam around and do their thing and send data back to HQ. Well, now not only has our Navy, but the military in general and other militaries around the world have completely reversed course on this. And there is indeed an arms race to see who can build the most competent autonomous war machines. This will not end well for anyone concerned. The article starts out, when it comes to deciding to kill a human in time of war, should a machine make that decision or should another human? The question is a moral one, brought to the foreground by the techniques and incentives of modern technology. It is a question whose scope falls squarely under the auspices of international law and one which nations have debated for years. Yet it's also a collective action problem, one that requires not just states, but also companies and workers and companies to come to an agreement to forego a perceived advantage. The danger is not so much in making a weapon, but in making a weapon that can choose targets independently of the human responsible initiating the action. Yes, indeed, this is exactly it. We're not fearing a Terminator scenario, by the way, but we already know that drones in the air can identify targets and dispatch missiles or other killing techniques to neutralize its target. We know that other militaries are doing the same thing with all of their various components, whether it be Army, Air Force, Navy, etc. This is an arms race that will duplicate the nuclear arms race in terms of intensity. The outcome will be just as devastating in the end, because World War III, when, as, and if it comes, and I do believe it will at some point, someday, it'll be the war to end all wars, indeed. Because robots will probably be the primary killing machines that are unleashed during that period of time. Second story concerns China again. The title of this story is, experts are claiming, quote, Latin America using Chinese tech to exert social control. China is expanding its technocracy as it simultaneously undermines free governments. Aggressive Chinese suppliers with their sophisticated social control technology have now permeated Argentina, Bolivia, Ecuador, Panama, and Venezuela. The article starts out, the ongoing proliferation of Chinese surveillance and information technologies in Latin America can be used to exert social control, erode democratic governance, and challenge U.S. and regional strategic interests, expert witnesses told a House panel on Thursday. So experts are testifying before the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C., and they're plainly stating, yes, China is selling its wares to other countries outside of China, and in particular in South America. We've been chronicling the export of Chinese technology for autocratic control and social control for some time. This is just the latest example of how successful their salesmen have been. It's also important to note that now that this is part of our own continent, it will soon be traveling more aggressively into the United States. It's just a matter of time before it hits us in full force, and whether or not the American people will reject this full force is unknown. There is a lot of angst, there's no doubt, but will the American people be successful in convincing their leaders and indeed corporate leaders to keep this garbage out of America, where we do not want social control dictated by a scientific elite? By the way, the scientific elite is exactly what President Dwight D. Eisenhower warned of in his farewell address. That little clip is played in every introduction to this podcast. This is a danger. Lastly, I want to talk about a story that I wrote today concerning the Department of Energy, Rick Perry, and a new supercomputer that they have decided to build. The title of my article is Where Technocrats Play, U.S. Department of Energy. And indeed, this is where technocrats play. I relate this story to you in hopes that you will also read the story. But this is some important background as to what's going on with the Department of Energy. It starts out, ex-governor of Texas, Rick Perry, was appointed Secretary of Energy by President Donald Trump on March 2, 2017. Even though President Trump has withdrawn from the Paris Climate Accord on global warming, apparently Secretary Perry has not gotten the word. For the Department of Energy's webpage on climate change is still present on the energy.gov website, which prominently states, and this is a direct quote from their website, addressing the effects of climate change is a top priority of the Energy Department. As global temperatures rise, wildfires, drought, and the high electricity demand put stress on the nation's energy infrastructure. And severe weather, the leading cause of power outages and fuel supply disruption in the United States, is projected to worsen, with 8 of the 10 most destructive hurricanes of all time happening in the last 10 years. To fight climate change, the Energy Department supports research and innovation that makes fossil energy technologies cleaner and less harmful to the people and the environment. We're taking responsible steps to cut carbon pollution, develop domestic renewable energy production, and win the global race for clean energy innovation. We're also working to dramatically increase the efficiency of appliances, homes, businesses, and vehicles. Now, the climate change page presents a map of, quote, how climate change threatens America's energy infrastructure in every region, close quote. Then it displays a globe with a heading, quote, Energy Exascale Earth System Model. That's called E3SM, by the way. And explains that, quote, E3SM is a modeling, simulation, and prediction project that optimizes the use of Department of Energy laboratory resources to meet the science needs of the nation. Even in light of this, it is still puzzling to some why the world's most powerful supercomputer is being created by the Department of Energy to realize the, quote, full potential of AI, close quote. According to an article in a journal called The Next Web, this is a direct quote, the U.S. Department of Energy, the DOE, has announced it's setting aside $600 million, that's a lot of money, $600 million to build the world's fastest supercomputer called Frontier. It will be jointly developed by AMD and Seattle-based supercomputer specialist Cray. The Frontier supercomputer will be capable of completing more than 1.5 quintillion calculations per second and will join Aurora to become the second of the two exascale systems planned by the U.S. DOE for 2021. Now, this must somehow be reconciled to the DOE's very simple mission statement, also displayed on its website, which states, the mission of the Energy Department is to ensure America's security and prosperity by addressing its energy, environmental, and nuclear challenges through transformative science and technology solutions. Close quote. Certainly, the Frontier Project is transformative. But why on earth does the DOE need the fastest AI computer in the world? And furthermore, what does it intend to do with it? Well, enter Smart Grid. You knew this was going to come back. We know from the above that the DOE is working to dramatically increase the efficiency of appliances, homes, businesses, and vehicles. The continuous and personal data stream collected from the nation's grid is the perfect input for such an AI supercomputer to control the whole system from a single location. When President Obama, a Democrat, unleashed the Smart Grid program in 2009, the goal of micromanaging the country's energy usage was in plain view, and it soon may be finally realized in practice, with Secretary Rick Perry, a Republican, taking the credit. The origin of the entire Smart Grid concept is found in the DOE's Bonneville Power Administration, abbreviation BPA, created in 1937 and located in the Pacific Northwest. Historically, the BPA was saturated with early technocrats because of its deep involvement with hydroelectric power. In the early 1990s, the BPA took credit for having coined the term energy web, which later became Smart Grid. The 1934 Technocracy Study Course, principally authored by Technocracy Inc.'s co-founder, M. King Hubbert, clearly specified control over energy in a seven-point requirements list. Number one requirement stated, register on a continuous 24-hour per day basis the total net conversion of energy. The second says, by means of the registration of energy converted and consumed, make possible a balanced load. These were the first two requirements of the Technocracy Study Course, by the way, and it indicates the great emphasis they put on energy. And of course, energy is the controlling factor of all economic activity. Subtitle in my article now is The Trans-Texas Corridor Fiasco. Another globalist project that Rick Perry took credit for dates back to his tenure as governor of Texas when he tried to force the so-called Trans-Texas Corridor, or TTC, into existence between 2001 and 2010. As part of the North American Union Initiative, engineered by President George Bush, Mexican President Vicente Fox, and Canadian Premier Paul Martin. Back in the day, they were known as the Three Amigos, and indeed, they got together to try and convert North America into a single entity. Crazy stuff. The NAU was a springboard from the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA, to create a continental area comparable in design to the European Union. The TTC was to be a super corridor 1,200 feet wide that carried tollways, rail, and utility lines stretching from the Mexican border to Oklahoma and ultimately to Kansas City, which was declared as an inland port, by the way. The TTC was envisioned as an extensive network of public-private partnerships that would have allowed global corporations to charge tolls for transit of not only freight delivered up by rail from Mexico, but also for services such as water, electricity, natural gas, and fiber optic lines. It would have been one of the largest eminent domain land grabs ever conducted in the history of our country, with the ultimate seizure of 584,000 acres of land held privately, mostly by ranchers and farmers. Well, the ranchers and farmers didn't take too kindly to that, I can assure you. After the plan was exposed to the American public, the uproar and protest was so great that the entire TTC project was ultimately terminated along with the NAU, that's the North American Union. Much of the credit went to Oklahoma as its legislator refused to let the super corridor pass into its territory from Texas. And by the way, in Oklahoma, there was great cheers when this happened, and they called that the first prime example of a Texas turnaround executed on Texas itself. Although Governor Perry tried to dodge the political bullet for the whole episode, Texas Department of Transportation documents released in 2002 stated that, and this is a quote, listen carefully, Governor Rick Perry wrote Transportation Commission Chairman John W. Johnson on January 20, 2002, to outline his vision for the Trans-Texas Corridor. The governor asked the three-member commission to assemble the Texas Department of Transportation's top talent to create and deliver a Trans-Texas Corridor implementation plan in 90 days. So we see very clearly it was his idea from the get-go. Now, this is the same Rick Perry who today, as Secretary of Energy, is attempting to build the world's fastest supercomputer to realize the, quote, full potential of AI, close quote. Although Frontier will undoubtedly be shared with other government agencies, NGOs, and private researchers, technocrats within the DOE will have the ultimate tool to assert total control over all energy converted and consumed in the United States. Now, I want to read two paragraphs to you from my book, Technocracy Rising, which first appeared in 2015. This is from page 144. The title of the chapter is Transforming Energy, Global Smart Grid. The resulting bonanza of investment has pushed smart grid past the trial stage and well into the rollout phase. Between 2012 and 2020, total aggregate spending on smart grid will likely exceed $500 billion. The data tracking element of smart grid is a second element of concern. Annual spending on software systems and data tracking were estimated to reach $1.1 billion in 2013 and as much as $3.8 billion by 2020. According to one analyst, quote, with the influx of big data, the potential of smart grid has shifted dramatically from the original aim of adding a myriad of new devices toward a complete reinvention of the way utilities do business, close quote. The dynamics of hardware-software interaction dramatically reinforces and accelerates the development cycle. The hardware, that is digital smart meters, represent the data collection systems, has hotly stimulated software development. In turn, the advanced software used to aggregate and analyze the data puts even more urgency into completing the physical infrastructure. This acceleration dynamic between hardware and software is well known within the world of engineering and computer science. Engineers will push the envelope at every opportunity to improve both hardware and software as additional functionality is seen as beneficial. Thus, what Obama started as a seed project in 2009 has now become a self-nourished behemoth with a life of its own. So there you have it. Smart Grid is alive and well at the Department of Energy. And now the person in charge of the Department of Energy is revealed to be a technocrat. Of course, we knew that from some time back. He was a primary player in the globalist scheme to convert the United States into a consortium called the North American Union. And now he's in charge of the Department of Energy, which has been full of technocrats ever since it was started in 1937. And now we see that the second major agency in the Trump administration is controlled by a globalist who may well be serving globalist ends. The first, of course, was Secretary of Transportation Elaine Chao. We discussed her recently. And now Rick Perry is declared to be on the same platform. If you combine the Department of Energy and the Department of Transportation, you have a full view of 100% infrastructure in America. This is the infrastructure of America. And this is the most important topic to technocrats worldwide, is to establish a globalist infrastructure that will connect all trade together all around the world in a global supply chain. And we see that the Department of Energy is now fulfilling two key requirements of original historic technocracy. You might be well advised to pick up a copy of my book, Technocracy Rising, The Trojan Horse to Global Transformation. It will help you connect a lot of dots. And of course, my latest book, Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order, will continue that story. Time is running short for America. It's time to mount a protest, and it's time to mount intelligent discourse if any of this is going to be stopped. The first element is exposure. And I might add, we did it with the Trans-Texas Corridor and with the North American Union. Such a stink was raised, both projects got summarily canceled ultimately. So we cannot say that Americans do not have the ability to change the course of their future. This is a future that we do not want. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. See you next time.